Acts 2:42 to 45. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. 1 John 1:1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Please pray with me. Jesus, we love you this morning, and we thank you for this time of worship, and this time to be together and just enjoy this community that you've given us. We're so grateful for this time and every single person that you've brought here that we love and just get to know better and share life with. And God, we just pray that we would be doing that in a way that honors you, that we'd be doing that through your Spirit and just in light of the sacrifice that you made for us. God, we just want to honor you today and do that through loving one another. Jesus, we love you and pray these things in your name. Amen.
All right, good morning, everyone. I want to invite you just to keep your Bible open or your bulletin. We are doing a brief summer series on the church, and looking back at the book of Acts, chapter 2, and learning what was happening in the early church that made life work together. Last Sunday, we said that the early church was a learning church. They devoted themselves to the teaching, to the New Testament, to growing and in their knowledge of Scripture. And this morning, we are talking about a loving church. So last week, a learning church. This morning, we're talking about a loving church. And we'll talk about what this word fellowship means. So if we can put that back up here, Acts chapter 2, or it's in your bulletin. It says, and the fellowship. So we're going to just talk this morning about those three words, and the fellowship. And the word there, fellowship, is the word koinonia, and it's on your bulletin. And that word means to have something in common or to share something. And so the early church, they were devoted to loving one another. They were devoted towards fellowship, devoted to sharing life together, devoted to having things in common. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. One of the things, though, that we see early in the Bible is that sometimes we get a little bit nervous about that, about sharing life, because when you share life together, that means that people kind of see parts of you that aren't always the best parts. And we know that in Genesis chapter 3, when the Bible describes Adam and Eve and their fellowship with God, that when sin enters the world, that they kind of ran and hid, that we begin kind of just putting out a front where we kind of hide our flaws. And that is within all of us, that we're not comfortable letting people in, not letting people close enough where they can see the flaws. We're okay when life is going well and relationships are healthy. You can come on in, but when life gets hard, we tend to keep people at a distance. And that's true within all of us, hiding our flaws. I've had a couple of experiences in my life where hiding my flaws turned out to be a bad situation. And for me, one of the more humorous now, it wasn't humorous at the time, but I was in 10th grade. And in the 80s, they just didn't have much for you if you had bad eyes. I just had really big glasses, and I was on the junior varsity basketball team, and I thought, you know what? I just can't play basketball with these glasses on anymore. They're big, they're uncomfortable, and it didn't work. And so I said, you know what? Forget the glasses. I'm going to play basketball without my glasses. So I didn't like people teasing. And so glasses go off, sitting on the bench, coach says, Kelly's kind of one of those classic yelling coaches. Get in there. We're playing man-to-man defense. That means you guard one specific person. And he says, okay, you're going to guard number 32. Well, the problem with guarding number 32 is that my eyes were so bad, I couldn't find number 32. And so I'm running around just trying to find that one person, like getting up close to people, looking, that's not it, that's not it, while everyone's yelling at me, right? So when everyone's coach is yelling at you, your teammates are yelling at you, you just kind of like shut down a little bit. So we have to be aware of this. And we have to know this about each other, that we all have flaws. We all have things in our lives that maybe we're a little bit embarrassed about or a little bit broken. But if we want to love each other well, if we want to have true fellowship, we have to let people in. We have to share our lives. And that was one of the distinguishing marks of the early church, is that they did this. They shared lives together, the good things, the bad things. And life makes sense when you do that. There's a quote I found this week that helps us understand this. And this puts it in a positive light for me. It's on the bulletin by a guy named Scott Sauls. And he says, membership in a local church means joining your imperfect self to many other imperfect selves to form an imperfect community that through Jesus embarks on a journey towards a better future. That's what I want to be a part of. An imperfect person joining with other imperfect people to form a community that through Christ we can all move towards a better future. And that's what we all want. We all want a better future. We want healthy relationships. We want healthy families, healthy friendships, healthy church families. And so what we need to do then is we need to explore a little bit more in-depthly. How do they do this? Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they were devoted towards koinonia, to koinonia, to sharing lives, okay? So here's how I believe, and I'll show you in the Bible how they did that. And number one, and this is on your bulletin as well, is that they had something in common together, and that is what they received. So number one, we're going to focus together a little bit in this idea of sharing our lives together. First and foremost, it's what everyone had received. And if you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 John. It's also in your bulletin. But 1 John talks about this word koinonia. And so what people received first was fellowship with God. So you will see the word fellowship in 1 John. It's the same Greek word koinonia. It's a very common word in the New Testament. But let's read it together and help us understand what is this common bond that all true believers have together. The Apostle John writes this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So the Apostle John is talking about his experience with Jesus Christ, and he uses language for us to understand that he is talking specifically about his interaction with Christ, his koinonia, his shared life. And he uses words like his eyes, his hands that he's touched concerning Christ. Verse 2 says, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life. So the Apostle John is saying this, is that he is an eyewitness to Jesus Christ, that he was connected to him, that he shared life with him, and through him is eternal life. This is what he had received. This is what New Testament churches, they received Christ as their Savior. And then he goes on, verse 3, and says this, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And so John is saying this, that the common bond that we all share here this morning is, if you have put your faith and trust in Christ, is that we have fellowship with God the Father. And we need to think about that for just a moment, about the importance in your life of having koinonia, fellowship with God your Father and Jesus the Son, John says. Why is that so important? Well, think about just our routine of life, our day-to-day life, and the idea that John is saying is that every part of our lives is to be shared with Christ. That every experience we have, we share with Christ. The good times and the bad times, the hard things, that Christ is a part of our life. And so to help us understand this, let's think about some descriptive ways in which Christ shares life and in which we do life together. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 that Christ lives in him. And so I wrote a few things down, and I wrote it maybe in ways that doesn't normally sound right to me, but I think it kind of captures the point. So the description of having fellowship with God, the description of having koinonia, sharing life with Christ, is this, is number one, and you can put this in your own personal pronouns, but we live together with Christ. That Christ is in your home, that Christ is in your life, he is a part of your life, that you live together with Christ. In the same way that you live with your husband or your wife, or you live with friends, and you share a room together, you share a bathroom, a car, that he is saying this, that to help you understand what koinonia means with Christ, it means that you live together with Christ, that every part of your life is with Christ. Number two is that we share a common interest. The things that capture your interest in life are the things that you would share with Christ. True koinonia, true fellowship, is often referred to as, in the old Latin language, coram Deo. Coram Deo, that before the face of God, that you live your life exposed and open before God. So you share your life with Christ, you live open and honest before God, and you have koinonia, you share your life with Christ. Before we learn to love each other well, there must be a source, there must be some way that you receive love, that there is a source of love into your life, that we are incapable of loving well, and that there is some source of love being poured into your life. And the Apostle John says here that Jesus Christ is that person, that he is the true source of love. He is the true source of eternal life, that is how we do life together, that he is a part of every part of your life. And I invite you here this morning, if that is something you haven't done, to consider that. How are you doing loving other people? How is your love life? Is Christ a part of it? He is calling to be a part of your life, to be a part of your love life, so you can love people well. Acts chapter 2 talks about this mutual love, this sustaining love that a church family has for one another. But the source of this true love is koinonia with Christ. If you have your bulletin, then point two then is, what do we give? We've all received something, that the gospel call goes out to everyone, that you can have koinonia with God. But there's something more that the early church had, and that's something that we all give. So we receive something, but we also have to give something. And what we'll do this morning is we will just kind of quickly go through a list of things that if we want to be part of a healthy church, if you want to be growing in as a healthy family, what are things that we must give? What are things that we must be willing to share with people? What are the common things that we give together? All right, so number one is this, and we'll just kind of work through this quickly. Number one is from Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read this together, all right? So think about this for a moment as far as now we're talking about practical ways that we can love each other. Paul says this, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. So he's talking about this unity that exists in the church because of how Christ has changed our lives. All right, now here's the harder part. Parents, friends, husbands, wives, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. We'll stop here for a second. Acts chapter 2 says that the early church was devoted to koinonia, to sharing life together, to creating a new community where people were different because of Christ in their lives. So these are things that now will appear because of koinonia with Christ first. Count others more significant than yourselves. Do nothing out of conceit. What we must know, and I know we know this, the world that we live in functions and thrives on counting yourself more important than others. That's how the world works. Assert yourself. Put yourself in a position of power. Demand your rights. And the gospel creates an alternative community where we are considering others more important than ourselves. I read this week, and I decided not to share it because it just got kind of negative, but I read this an article, and it was about church fights and the things that people fought about in church. And it was almost so comical, and it was so unbelievable that you wouldn't believe it. But it was a credible source, all right? So here's just one. Church family dinner, and like we do here sometimes. And one of the leaders in the church got upset with the person who was serving food because the server gave more meat to the person in front of him than he received. And it was a child. So later that night, he goes and confronts the parent about the kid's attitude. And then that person then began talking to their friends about how rude this person was to confront them over such a silly thing. The person who did the confronting went to other friends and said, "Can you believe these parents and how they raised their kids to be so demanding and selfish?" And before you know it, the church has a split over a piece of meat, over a piece of food. And if this goes on and on and on, the most ridiculous things that we fight about. Now, I'm not going to ask you to think too long or too hard about this, but when we think about our own lives and you look back in your life and you think about things you argued about with your friends or your family, your spouse or the children, the things we fight over, when we think back now, we're like, really? If I would have done this, if I would have considered somebody else's perspective and loved them, this wouldn't have happened. And so a true mark of true church love is this, and I can say that this is easy to say, difficult to do. Next verse. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. And so, number one, when I say we all have something to give, what we have to give is this. We consider others more significant than ourselves. That's number one. Number two is from Romans chapter 12. This has to do with generosity. This has to do with selflessness. So the Apostle Paul writes this, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We'll stop there for 1 second. Show hospitality. Some of you live in large houses and you can have lots of people over. Some of you live in smaller houses. You can have a few people over. Doesn't matter. The point of this is that we're sharing our lives with people. And some of you just do this amazingly well. And we love coming over to your homes. We love eating your food and being in your home because it's just a welcoming place. And I encourage you, if this is something that you haven't done, and maybe it makes you nervous, well, just invite one or two people over. Share your life. Open up your home. Paul goes on and says this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We'll skip that one. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Can you do that? Can you do that with kindness when someone's going through a hard time? Are you able to weep with them who maybe things are going great in your life right now, but maybe somebody else is just having a really hard time? Can you, out of kindness, walk through life with someone who's having a hard time? The only way you can do that is if you first find true fellowship in Christ. It's when your heart is filled with the love of Christ that you can do this. Next verse. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or proud, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own eyes. Paul is saying that this is how you have a healthy church family. This is how you have a healthy family in your own home. Live in harmony together. Let's go on. Number three is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And this has to do with making the commitment. We've been talking about this in our men's group. And this is the idea that showing up is just a part of life that is required. And the author of Hebrews says this, not to neglect to meet, as is the habit of some. Now, we live in one of the most beautiful places where there are endless reasons to miss church. It's sunny every day. I think I've said this before, but I remember when I was in college, I had a roommate from Alaska, and I'd wake up, and I was from Washington, and I'd be like, such a beautiful day. And I was going to school in Southern California, and he said, stop saying that. Every day is nice here. Like, just every single day is nice. In Washington, when you see the sun, you're like, yay, everyone's excited and happy. Every day here is beautiful. Do not neglect meeting together because it's a beautiful day, as some are in the habit of doing. Do not neglect to meet together because the swell is happening. Do not, right? We just keep going on and on and on. There are so many reasons to not come to church where we live, right? And he's saying this, that you receive encouragement, you receive stability, you realign your life by just showing up and participating in worship and having your Bible and learning and growing. So if you want to be a part of a healthy church, sometimes just showing up. And sometimes that's all you can do. Just barely get yourself out of bed and just get here. But show up. All right, next. Hebrews 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And this is one of these things, again, that we really don't want to talk about that much, but sometimes our hearts are just an inch away from becoming cold and hard, and we just walk away. And we have to be honest about this, that it's true, this happens in my heart, it happens in our heart sometimes, that we're close to growing cold. We're close to saying, I just can't do this anymore, I just want to walk away. And we all need each other. We need each other to keep our hearts soft and keep our hearts close to Christ. If you look around and you see people here, just know this, we're closer than we think to having our hearts grow cold. And you have an active role in stoking the fire and stoking the warmth in each other's hearts to stay devoted to Christ. All right, we're almost done. Next, this has to do with generosity, with financial generosity. Paul writes this in Romans 15, talking to meeting the needs of the poor. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Did I put verse 27, Russell? I don't remember if I had that. Thank you. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. And so there was no marketing campaign. There was no gimmicky speech where the Apostle Paul came up in front of the church and said, I need 12 people to give $1,000, then we can leave. Right? That was my church experience. We're not leaving Sunday morning until I have 6 people that promise to give such and such amount. There was no gimmicks. Do you know why people were generous? Because of koinonia with Christ first. That is what changed a heart from selfishness to generosity, to loving people, to meeting the spiritual needs and the material needs of people. How are you doing with that? Are you holding on to your money too tightly? Has generosity kind of just been pushed aside? Do you want to be a part of a healthy church? The only way a church is healthy is through generosity. All right, I think that's our last one. So, can we go back to Acts chapter 2, Russell, for 1 second. Very short and brief. A learning church and a loving church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the New Testament, and the fellowship, and the koinonia, that which they had in common. And I said that the primary thing that we have in common is Jesus Christ, is the gospel of what God has done through us, for us through Christ. That is the common bond. And we've got a variety of people, different interests, different political viewpoints. Some people love the ocean. Some people are terrified by it. Some people like the mountains. All these different things. All those things are secondary. What's primary, what holds us together, is what you've received, and that is Christ. But to be a part of a healthy community, you must understand that there is a responsibility to give. And what happens, what's interesting, when you read the New Testament, after the book of Acts, is that you start reading these letters that the Apostle Paul writes, other people write, and he encourages them over and over and over again about the things we just talked about. And do you know why? Because the early church started with this burst of energy. The Holy Spirit was poured out and all this excitement. We love things that are new and exciting, but what happens over time? Things kind of fade a little bit. And so the New Testament writers warn about one really important thing, and I'll finish with this, is that we must continue to be providers and not consumers. What happens over time is we just become consumers. And there are very few people left that provide. Provide what? Provide encouragement. Provide hope. And we just consume. We just come with an attitude that somebody must meet my needs. I'm not going to serve. We must think about this. A healthy church is about people who are providing. There will always be times in our lives where we need to consume, where we just need love, where there's emptiness. That cannot be the hallmark. That is not the definition of a Christian, because the definition of a Christian, first and foremost, is somebody who has koinonia with Christ in our hearts. That empowers you then to do koinonia, to share life with others. Think about it right now. Someone right now is watching all the little kids. Someone's doing, helping other things. Someone comes early. Someone does all these different things, behind the scene things. And so for us to be healthy, there must be a way for people to be providers and not consumers. And that goes countercultural. It is just pushed into our minds to consume, to consume, to consume, to consume, and that people or organizations or communities exist to meet my needs. And I'm saying that's the antithesis of what Christ calls us to do, that we are all called to be a provider. Find a way to participate, to be a part of community, of serving, and enjoying the relationships that come a part of that. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the clarity that you give us in Scripture. I pray that first and foremost, above all else, that we would find our true fellowship with your Son, Jesus Christ, that through the power of the Spirit, we would enjoy true communion, true closeness, that we would walk with you, that we would share our lives with you, that we would receive the love that you pour into our hearts. And then, Father, as a result of that, that we would look out for one another, that we would give encouragement to one another, that we would not be consumers, but we would provide love for one another. We need your word, we need your Spirit to do that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.